Hello, everyone. This is Borderless Live on LinkedIn. Welcome to Ask Anything Thursday. This is our weekly glance at executive life and international business. My name is Andrew Chris. So let's get on with it for this week. I can tell you what's been a key feature of the week for me. Not yet a flood, but certainly an increasing number of contacts from executives who are looking to change their careers. Today, therefore, I'm going to focus on the subject of career transition. And I would, of course, welcome your observations and questions. So go ahead and ask your questions in the comments box, in the Q&A on your right, or you can go straight to LinkedIn and ask there. So let me deal with this first topic then. We've got an accelerating number of contacts. I mean, I would say more than three times the normal week in the last 7 days. And these are what we term spontaneous contacts. And the spontaneous contacts seem to me to be very much a consequence of layoffs. Or let's be polite and call them managerial restructuring, which seems to be taking place at every level and across every major industry. These kind of drop-ins, CVs arriving, telephone calls coming in, is something we normally experience, and we handle them correctly, and everybody who writes to us always gets an answer. However, there are moments when evidently there's some senior executives who are beginning to struggle with what's just happened to them. And whether it's restructuring or whether it's some other phenomenon has taken place that caused executives to have to think about doing something new, what we've been doing quite consistently is to make some time available every week, and every Borderless consultant does that, for conversations with senior executives at what are often quite pivotal moments in their lives. And before I go further, whatever the reason for this contact, being laid off cannot be a nice experience. I mean, it's just one of life's great experiences, perhaps, something which sometimes you'd rather not experience, but it inevitably happens at least once in a career, even for the most successful executives. However, of course, when layoff is the reason for seeking a new role, it's inevitable that an executive cannot help feeling guilty. You know, what have I done wrong? What's really happened here? Why am I suddenly not so firmly anchored to the business where I've given my life to in the last few years? What's made me dispensable? And of course, there's a tremendous feeling of guilt too towards families, a sense of shame even for many. How can I tell my friends? What will neighbors think? Will my car disappear? Will I go back to driving some old jalopy? Well, you know, these feelings are entirely natural. And of course, in many parts of the world, particularly in Europe, less so in the US, there's some financial compensation, but still the fundamental feeling that something has gone wrong and I've not been able to manage it, and I'm somehow disposable to an organization in which I've invested so many years, is really not at all a nice feeling. And however, you know, whatever the reason, it's perfectly natural. And the first thing we need to do is to acknowledge these feelings as something which are real and deep. Now, I can also tell you is that as executive search consultants, we're used to dealing with these questions, but of course, we don't pretend to be the deep life psychological coaches. But, you know, we've got a lot of experience. We've talked to a lot of people. We talk to 1,000 people a year. So by definition, we have a pretty good feeling of what this feels like to the executive. It is, however, very much a human process, and human processes take place at a human pace. It's one of life's greatest transitions. It takes time to deal with. And inevitably, what an executive who's just leaving one job for whatever reason, the first thought is, how quickly can I get into another one? This is where we come in and tell you to slow down. I know how keen it must be and especially if, let's say, the financial aspect of the deal is not as generous as you'd like. Inevitably, first thing, how do I keep earning money? How do I do all of those things? But we're always suggesting that maybe this is a moment to take stock. Our first job is to understand the reality of the situation for you and help you, the executive, come to terms with what has just happened. What is really the reason that you want to make this change? What is the reason in which direction you want to go? Most critical, at least from our perspective, is that you receive, the individual we talk to receives a high degree of reassurance that from our perspective as executive search professionals, there's absolutely zero stigma attached to being out of work these days. It's just a fact of life. And no executive search consultant worthy of the name would allow or even state there is some kind of an issue with having been laid off or wishing to change careers. There's no stigma attached to it. You know, there's a good basis for that. By the time we speak to people, there are so many have had years and years of success as executives. And you've not suddenly gone from being very successful to suddenly being something bad. That's just not the reality. However, the pace of change and the pace of the world means that maybe different people are required in different situations. So there's absolutely no stigma attached to this. The chances are you've done nothing wrong. It just happens. So, interesting question, anonymously come up here. How can I formulate a new direction for my career? Question I was asked several times already in the last couple of weeks. Well, it's a reset of your career. It's a reset of your professional life. And it's going to be quite critical you're trying to find who you are and where you think you ought to be going. We can help guide that process, even in these informal, short discussions, which we feel is the right thing to do. And by the way, it may surprise you to know that we're in the executive search business, because we quite like people. We do want to help people. Yes, of course, it's a business like any other, but working with people and enjoying that process is very much part of what we do. So the first thing is how to manage this uncertainty of a beginning a new stage in your work life. We need to consider options, career routes that you might want to take, and not necessarily the conventional paths that we're used to thinking. So let me just make a point to you here. Very often, I see that that's come up now also in the career transition piece. The obvious thing to do, and is where the majority of people we meet, where they start off, they say, well, you know, I've been an executive in this particular business doing this particular line of work. I've been commercial director, or I've been the vice president of technology. And therefore, what I really do well is vice president of technology. That's been my third technology leadership role. I should go and do more of the same. And my first question is often, why? Well, because it's what I do and what I do well, and I've proven I can do it well. Wonderful. But is that really what you want to do? Well, of course, you can always go and do that somewhere else. There's always somebody looking for the wonderful skills and experience you have. You will, of course, find that job. But this is a wonderful opportunity. It's a wonderful opportunity to just stand back, take stock. Yes, I'm really good at that. Let me just give an example. A couple of years back, I met a lovely, wonderful person who had just been laid off. And he was a senior director in the chemical industry, head of operations running large chemical plants. Doesn't matter where, of course, confidential discussion. But nonetheless, this person said, well, you know what I really want to do, Andrew, is I want to go and run another chemical plant. I'm really good at doing that. And I think that would make me really excited. So I'm listening to this individual talking to me like this. I'm wondering, really? I'm watching your eyes. I'm watching what you do. So, well, let's just stop. We can always do that. So when you're not running chemical plants, what are you really doing? What do you do? Well, he said, actually, I write books on technology for kids. And I'm really rather good at it. In fact, I go in my spare time, I lecture schools and looking for a publisher. And a really great thing to do because technology really needs to come in early into kids' schools. And I'm listening to this. I'm watching this person's eyes. It's a different person. Saying, so why do you want to go and run another chemical plant when you could build an entirely new life for yourself? Which evidently turns you on. Just look at your eyes. Why do you want to go and run a chemical plant? You know, I could sit six people on this table here, all six of them quite capable of running chemical plants, but some may have a shiny in their eyes that really think this is the biggest thing they ever wanted to do, while you're sitting there saying, I love talking to kids about technology and writing books. No competition. You need to be able to compete, and you compete best at what you really want to do. So question two, what makes you special? What do you really want to do? Discover your, some people call it career purpose in managerese. Okay. So for consultants in the search industry, to remember you and who you are and what you're aiming for, your message needs to be very clear, very distinctive and memorable. It needs to be able to compete. So it's worth spending some time about what is it that really turns me on. You know, if it's scuba diving in the Caribbean, well, that's wonderful. If you're going to earn a living at that, wouldn't that be wonderful? However, if it's something else, you know, think about what it is. Think about what you're going to do. So beware the pseudo-coach, pseudo-advisor. There's lots of people around who call themselves career coaches that may not take you down through the more difficult route of staring at the ceiling and saying, what the hell is my life really all about? This is a very tough journey that few of us go into when on a day-to-day basis we're just flooded with to-dos and operational stuff. We never get the time to think. Here you have a unique opportunity. Take it. Take the time to reflect on what makes you happy, because when you're happy, you're going to be doing something you really enjoy. And when you do stuff you really enjoy, people will pay or want to employ you to do it. If it's something as hum-ho, you're going to compete like hell with a bunch of other hum-hos. Not a good thing. Go and do something that makes you stand out as a person that I really want to work with. You're the person I need. I see it in your eyes. So, and remember too, there's one other thing that's important. We're talking about you. By the way, this conversation took 20 minutes with somebody this week. Can take an hour. Can take 45 minutes. By the way, how enthusiastic and how reflective you are and how mature you are about thinking about your future and how well you take some of these comments, which are frankly difficult to digest. And we're not doing it to make ourselves feel good. This is something to help you think and help you present better to whoever it is you need to talk to get that next role, whatever it is. And remember, by the way, that in our estimate, not more than 15% or so, maybe 20% of senior roles inside the business world go to executive search. Not more than that. The majority are through personal networking, through other ways of contacting people, through people you know, PLUs, people like us. We already know you. Well, why'd you come and do this job? Many of the jobs, in fact, the vast majority are filled through that route. So how do you position yourself correctly, not only to the 20% going through executive search, but to all these other people? How do you become known to that 80%? I can guarantee you that as an executive, you spend very little time on what people call networking, getting to know other people for the sake of it, as opposed to for some ulterior purpose. How do people get to know you, what you're really good at, and so on? There's an enormous marketing job to do to market yourself. Marketing, the real you, by the way, as the real you and the specific thing you want to do. What's the positioning that you've built for yourself. I am a writer of children's books on technology, and I talk to kids on technology. Isn't that wonderful? There's a market for that, by the way. How do you access that market? How do you market yourself? Well, you know, the obvious things, LinkedIn is a wonderful place. I would never miss it. But there's a lot of self-serving stuff on LinkedIn that, frankly, when a senior search professional looks at, they just brush out of the way. No. This is not the real person. What's the real person? And when you position yourself, you take the time to talk about yourself as a real person on LinkedIn. It comes through every time. Where else can I find you apart from LinkedIn? Are you a contributor to blogs? Would I find some stuff you've written, stuff you've authored? When was the last time you spoke at a conference in the subject that really thrills you? You know, conference organizers, and there are many, whether it's online or off or in person, are absolutely looking for really good people who've got something to say about the topic of that conference. They're looking for you. Why don't you go and find them first? Who are the people running conferences in my specialty? Why don't I go and talk to them? I'd love to go and talk. And by the way, attending that conference may be 50 or 150 or 250 people who are going to get to know you. Wow, what a way to build a network. Okay? So think about too, creating your own blog posts. You know, where will I find a nice short website that says all about you, who you are, and what you stand for, and maybe some of the things that you're writing now to comment? Lots of good stuff on social, lots of good stuff on good quality, high quality blogs. If your specialty is about bringing a particular type of expertise to an Asian market, why are you not talking about that? If that's what you really enjoy and that's the direction you want to take, talk about it. Let other people see what you do and other people will find you. By the way, I'm not talking executive search consultants and nonsense here. I've done it for myself, but that's for another time. So closing the subject, I think there's lots of good people you can talk to, but a handful stand out and not more than a handful. I think you may have heard about somebody called Anthony Harling that I've worked with over the years. His new firm is called Harlshen, which is rather difficult to say. It's H-A-R-L-S-H-N. There you go. H-A-R-L-S-C-H-O-N.com, Harlshen.com. They're really a couple of real experts who've been there. They've done it, executive search, as well as really good lives as international executives. They know what this is all about. They can advise you from a really good, strong position, realistically. There's lots of people, but be careful. Don't go for the amateurs. So take your time on this. Build your positioning. And above all, what's really good about a positioning, once you've stated it, you spend all the time on it, stay focused. Don't be tempted by saying a friend has done thinking about this for me, and therefore I think I ought to do that. No. If you've decided this is what makes you happy, this is where your future is, stick with it. And it may take you some time, but stick with it. Emphasize your beliefs and stick to them.